Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all. It's so good to be here once again for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that you can all hear me well. My name is Sister Jennifer, and I am here in Straightway, Georgia. And I have with me tonight Mother Carol on the other end. We didn't have her last week, and we missed her, but we're happy to have her return. Mother Carol, can you please give us a sound check on your end? And I'm waiting for my chat room to come up so I can see what the saints are saying.
Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I hope that everyone can hear me, and we really want to reiterate what Pastor has spoke about the spirits of self this week. So I hope you all get your pens and papers and are really able to absorb. Hope you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am. We hear you very well, and I see tens for both of us. We are not going to be long before you tonight. I just, Mother, why don't you go ahead and give your acknowledgments, and I'll give mine, and then we'll move on.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, giving honor to Yah, who is the head of all of our lives and the maker and creator of all things, and we love him dearly. Through his son, Yeshua, the Messiah, I thank the Father for allowing me to be here. Of course, I give honor to his servant, Pastor Dow, the man of Yah, and my husband, who has placed me here to be able to speak with you all, and I'm thankful for that. And I also want to acknowledge all the pastors, elders, teachers, mothers, brothers, sisters, everybody who labors in their own particular way to make it to the kingdom and labors in the ministry. I thank the Father for all of you. Thank you, Jennifer.
Hallelujah. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High as well for his loving compassion that he just shows to us daily, and it really allows us to walk in a level of freedom that the world could never know. And it really is an honor for me to be a part of his chosen people, to be a part of this ministry. I want to acknowledge our elder here, Elder Rufus, for just modeling the love that Christ has for the church and for loving the people of Yah without any false pretenses, without any conditions. Just genuinely loving the people. And I finally want to acknowledge Pastor Dow for just never compromising the truth and always leading us in righteousness through the life that he lives and the example that he sets. And I want to acknowledge Sister Ashley, too. We miss you very much, and she'll be back with us soon, Saints. So she's coming to the closing of her purification, so we'll have her back soon. So that's all I have. But as Mother Carol said, we're going to go into talking about the unloving spirit that Pastor Dow talked about. He gave us so much information. You could literally listen to that message over and over again for a year and learn something new every single time. So, Mother, if you want to go ahead and get us started out, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you, Sister Jennifer. Pastor, like she said, gave us so much this past Shabbat. I hope and pray that you all have gone back and listened to it again, just to be able to really grasp what he was saying and to learn every time you hear it. He spoke to us about our soul, which is our nefesh, which is our whole being. You know, before we had always thought that it was our mind, will, and emotions as was taught, but now as we grow and we learn more, we realize that this is our whole being, which consists of our soul. And he also spoke to us about how the children of Israel forgot that they were in bondage. And I really lodged that, you know, when trials and tribulations start to come, they forgot about the bondage, which was the reason why they were even crying out in the first place. But they remembered the leeks, the garlic, the fish, the melons. And it's amazing how the food took precedence over the bondage. And I think about that a lot. How much are we bound by those things? And with that, we're going to talk about the spirits that affect us in self, because there's so many of them. We're not going to go over them all. But, you know, women are masters of self-hatred, you know, and it is the root cause of the autoimmune diseases. And, you know, we're so affected by it, by body image, by spiritualism, as far as, you know, hating ourselves, not liking something, whether it be looks or our spirit or the way we carry ourselves. Women are so bound by it. And so many times when we get sick, we often want to ask, you know, well, what is wrong? And we never diagnose the spirit. We always diagnose just the physical symptoms. And we want to understand the cause. However, we don't look into the soul realm of anything usually. Just to give you an idea of how spirits affect the body, if you think about going into a basement or a dark room, and you feel the spirit of fear, sometimes you can feel cold chills go all over your body. And that's a way to show you how the spirit is affected, how your body is affected by the spirit, because there's nothing that took place, but you felt it in the spirit, and it affected you in your body by the cold chills or the running away or whatever you happen to do. Or another thing, if you are worried about something, and just really worried, it could be something really drastic and detrimental in your life or traumatic, and you're really worried, your stomach gets balled up in knots, you can barely eat, sometimes you get insomnia, you can't sleep, your mind is always on it, you get sick literally to your stomach. That's a way to show you that the body is being affected by your spirit. And literally, scientifically, what takes place is your white corpuscles are invisibly redirected to attack the living tissue while ignoring the true enemy, which is bacteria and viruses. So your mind, your brain gets a signal that to start attacking your own body because you're attacking your body instead of your body doing it what it's supposed to do by attacking your the bacteria and the viruses. And a lot of times when we deal with these self-spirits, they cause alcoholism, eating disorders, smoking, and all these things are a way to numb the negative feelings that you have instead of dealing with the real issues. Our emotions can be toxic naturally, and it affects our bodies physically. And sometimes even our toxic mouths can do damage to us. And then when we put things out there and we have toxic communication with others, then when we get rejected, we want to waddle in self-pity and we go into self-pity mode and things like that. And it's a victim mentality. And Pastor, he has talked to us before about making false statements. He even mentioned that this week. And because we make false statements because we hate ourselves. And he always says the thing that you hate so much in others oftentimes is what you're guilty of. Before I go on with the few spirits that I have listed, did you have anything real quick on what I've said, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. That was very good information. You talked about the physical body. And I just want to point out, too, as well, that, you know, the serotonin levels in your body, you know, the quote-unquote feel-good hormone, the serotonin levels, they decrease in your body when you are operating in an unloving spirit. And as long as you have that unloving spirit within you that you're operating in, those self-spirits, then your serotonin levels are going to continue to just go down and down. And this is when depression will try to come in at that point. So eventually, like she said, your body will attack itself, leading to other issues as well, other than depression, like thyroid issues, autoimmune disease as well. So I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead, Mother.
Yes, ma'am. I had a few spirits I just wanted to hit because these are really prevalent among women. Outside of unforgiveness of self, we know, you know, how that affects. We know that we have to forgive. But let's take a look at self-condemnation. It has been known to cause problems in the uterus. So if you're dealing with self-condemnation, get that taken care of. Self-anger has been known to cause blood problems, high blood pressure, varicose veins, things like that. Anger issues usually affect the blood, especially if it's geared towards yourself. Self-bitterness is also very detrimental and has been known to aid in the development of cancer cells. Now, this is stuff that we know spiritually, and then even if you look into scientifically through from doctors, they will tell you that these things are affected by that, okay? I'm not just pulling this up out of somewhere. This is documented things. Self-hatred has been known to cause autoimmune disease, like we talked about before, and diseases that where the body attacks itself. That's what autoimmune diseases are. Self-rejection. We as humans are social people. We're people that need, you know, others around us and things like that. Adam, if you think about scriptures, Adam, you know, he was the only one that did not have a soulmate or have someone to communicate with. So, we're social beings. We need touch and feel and all these things. Even infants in hospitals, they've done tests to have newborn babies that they would leave alone. Those babies would end up sick, malnutrition because they wouldn't eat. But the babies that had touch and feel and were loved and could feel that they were loved, they flourished, they grew, they ate well, they did all these things. So, you know, we're social beings. But this spirit, the self-rejection spirit, is known to enhance physical pain. So your brain tells you that the self-rejection in you will feed your brain and make your physical pain more intense. Physical scientific studies, I kid you not, it'll make your brain more intense. If you think about it, you can recall something that's been done bad to you, something, an old painful memory. You can recall that just like it's nothing. But the good things, those you almost sometimes have to think about to even bring up. That just lets us know how much we lodge the pain and the negativity and those toxic feelings and emotions. Self-pity is the other one I wanted to deal with. That's a self-absorbed spirit. You're absorbed with yourself, and it gives you an excuse not to apply yourself. Some use their trials as a badge of honor for attention, and it has been known to lead to depression and bipolar disorder. So I had a few ways that you can tell that you have these spirits, okay? Do you compare yourself to others and you never measure up? Are you one that cannot receive encouragement? If somebody tries to give you a good word, do you, oh, no, 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 or, you know, all that false humility and things like that? A lot of times that'll tell you if you're not receiving yourself. Do you constantly seek approval? And are you a people pleaser? You know, nowadays it's through social media. Those that are just so addicted to social media and pan after every single word that somebody says, that's usually a person that has unloving spirits against themselves. Are you easily offended? Are you always trying to prove yourself or explain yourself? Do you put yourself down even when you do something well and you can't take a compliment? You know, you can ask yourself some of these questions, and that will tell you whether you are harboring some of these spirits. I only had one more thing, Sister Jennifer, before we take a break or before we go on. I just wanted to give you a few spirits that aren't always, Pastor has gone over so many of them, and he goes over pretty much everything, but I wanted to highlight some of these that we hardly ever go to with self. We usually go towards the self-bitterness, self-rejection, self-hatred, but there's other spirits against self that we hardly ever touch on, and I just wanted to hit maybe six or seven of them real fast, and it'll be very, very brief.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Self-righteousness, those religious spirits that are not ever spiritual, self-righteousness, ask yourself. Self-important, are you seeking position or status or things like that? Those are self-spirits that we hardly ever want to bring up because those are a little bit more, we want the victim mentality of self-spirits. We don't want to admit to the prideful mentality of our self-spirits, okay? Self-mutilation, abusing of yourself. There have been people that have had these self-spirits so bad that they'll cut themselves or do something to themselves. People that get all these tattoos and all these piercings, that's a self-mutilation spirit that has to be dealt with. Self-absorbed, are you consumed with yourself? Or if you ever notice that people that you, if you start telling a story, they've got to one-up you with their story. Those are self-absorbed spirits, I guess you used to say. Self-deception, deceiving into thinking that you're something that you're actually not. We can deceive ourselves by self-deception. Self-seduction, you can seduce yourself into believing anything that you want to believe. Self-will, that stubborn spirit that a lot of women deal with. Their self-will. A lot of times your deliverance is hindered because you won't change your mind, which is your self-will spirit that you're dealing with. And self-indulgence, when you have addictions like to eating or eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, alcohol, cigarettes, any of these things like that. So the key to these is to forgive yourself. I know I've kind of moved a little bit fast. I hope you all get it. Or if not, you can always just go back and re-listen. Sister Jennifer, if you want to add something, and then we'll take a break, and I'll come back and give one more little thing, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to add, you know, if you suffer from any of the illnesses that Mother Carol named, you really have to make sure that you look at the spiritual condition first. Before going and asking for prayer, you have to make sure that you have dealt with the spiritual implications first, because you have to remove the legal ground and repent before healing can go forth. So that's very important. It's not about taking a tincture. You know, there's nothing wrong with tinctures, but you have to make sure that you cover the spiritual as well. So that's all I wanted to say, Mother.
Absolutely. Do you want to take a ministry break real quick, Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. We will be right back, Daughters of Zion. We will take a short break, and we'll be right back with you.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025, 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Okay, Mother, you want to go ahead and continue for us?
Okay, yes, ma'am. Sister Jennifer, I rushed through that really fast because I got a surprise this evening. I am going to have our precious sister Ashley is here to take back over the show. She has something she would like to present to us.
So. Shalom, shalom, God is the day.
Greetings.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, Sister Jennifer, how you doing? Bless you, sister.
Can I just say that even I'm surprised this thing was coming for me and I had no idea whatsoever.
I know I didn't tell you, sister. Mother Carol didn't know either. I just busted in the show about 15 minutes, too. Bless y'all, saints. I give a little moment for a standing ovation or a round of applause or a wave from the emojis. Bless y'all. Hallelujah. I'm back. I'm glad to be here.
Hallelujah.
Bless y'all. Mother Carol scooting over.
Uh-huh.
So I did want to have, I had something I wanted to share that was pressed upon me. I pray that it benefits or blesses one or many of y'all. I do hope that I'm not rusty, and I do hope that you all are not just taking this show or any preaching or any teaching or any YouTube video like it's another sitcom or soap opera or, you know, something that entertains you. This is a very serious ministry, obviously. And as Pastor has said, if you are not growing, you are dying. That's very personal. That's very personal. So what I have to share fits in very well with what Mother and Sister Jennifer have shared already. And I'll try to just fit y'all in and groove y'all in. Since y'all got to hear that I surprised them both, then that means I don't really have questions for them, or they don't really know what I'm going to ask or what I'm going to say. So we'll just go with the flow. I hope not to keep you too long, but I do pray that you understand every message you hear is very freeing, no matter what it sounds like or the tune is like or whoever's stating it. We're a very experienced ministry, and the word can always set you free, okay? I want to start with a scripture from the Wisdom of Solomon. Are you ready, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Give me one moment. I'm sorry. I'm actually not ready.
I'll talk. As I always say, I'll paint a picture first, sister. Bless you. I wanted to tell you both so we could gel a really good show, but I thought, hey, maybe we'll have Mother again next week if she wants to come, and we can gel a show then. But either way, I'm ready to ask y'all things. And if you don't have anything, just pass it back to me, and we won't keep the attention of the listeners too long. Scripture in Wisdom of Solomon says, this corruptible body, it's talking about mine and yours. You have a corruptible body, and what does it do? Wisdom of Solomon says, it presses down the soul, and the earthy tabernacle weighs down the mind that ponders so many things. All right, that's just like Mother Carol talking about how the body is affected by your spirit. All right, none of us is exempt from that. Let's share another scripture with you. Talking about the Father, he executes his judgments upon them, who? His people, little by little. That's what the word says. He executes his judgments upon us little by little. Bless his holy name for that, because we couldn't take it any more or any faster than that. He executes his judgments upon them little by little. You give them place for repentance, not being ignorant that they were a naughty generation and that their malice was bred in them. All right, listen to the testimony about us. This is a very interesting scripture here. Wisdom of Solomon 12:10. I'm going to say it again. You give them place of repentance, not being ignorant that they were a naughty generation and that their malice was bred into them and that their cogitation, I'll explain that word, cogitation would never be changed. If their cogitation would never be changed, what is cogitation? It is the act of thinking any differently. So the Father knows we're a naughty generation, that malice was bred into us, and that our act of thinking any differently would never be changed. And to end that verse, the Wisdom of Solomon says, for it was a cursed seed from the beginning. From the beginning. All right? So I share that because a lot of us, a lot of you, are really weighed down with your view of yourself and your image of self. And that gives place and opens doors to so much communication that I pray this tonight, just even as I speak, if you allow the Father to minister to you, if you truly admit to the wrong that you have partaken in, to the wrong voices that you've listened to, if you truly admit to the things, as Mother even stated, some of the ones that are a little harder to step up to the plate and get deliverance from, you know, who wants to say, I'm religious, you know, I need deliverance from a religious spirit. I need deliverance from pride. I'm selfish, right? She's getting them out now. Those are the tough ones, self-righteous, self-importance, self-mutilation, self-absorbed, self-deception, self-seduction, self-will, self-indulgence. Those are probably the least spirits that I've ever cast out of anyone. It's always the victim and what has been done unto you and the pain that you have from being hurt, okay? So this is a good focus, because if you can be set free by the admittance of the sin that I'm going to speak to you about tonight, you can really walk in great freedom, okay? But you have to have your heart ready to change. Do you believe, Daughters of Zion, that we are a people led by the Father? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Mother says. Do you believe that we are women on this show led by the Father? Absolutely, right? So hear these words, please, with all mercy and sincerity. So to start off with selfishness, we all understand it, right? But to say, how am I selfish? If you were to ask yourself that, or if the Father is asking you that in your prayer time, how would you respond back to him? How are you selfish? Selfishness is overly concerned with your own interests, with intentions to have advantage of what? Feeling ease. Okay, you always want it easier. We want an easier way out. I want to do the easiest method. How can I get this done quicker and faster? What can I do to be done, get finished, get over it? Right? Overly concerned with your own interests, with intentions to have advantages of feeling at ease. So we live in a self-made world. You've heard everything I'm about to say before, but really let it sink in, okay? We live in a self-made world where everyone is successful by their own efforts.
You don't need anyone. You don't need a tribe. So we grow up with self-preservation, protecting ourselves from all injury. That's why we have the problem coming into a deliverance ministry of only getting free from the injuries. Understand? So we operate in the brain's function of survival mode, because the brain is, and that is Yah's creation, fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a brain that has a survival mode. You have to make great changes and leaps of faith to come out of that survival mode. You have to. So we self-seek and we self-serve, and again, we don't need anyone. So we're self-governed and without the need of hierarchy or without the need of direction or a leader or a man. You've heard this. No friend, no woman, no need. Just me, just myself, and you can accomplish things that way easily. I did. You did. With selfish ambitions, you can go places in this world. So we lose Yah's order, and we lose self-confidence. And we have no self-esteem, and we have no self-control. That's what happens. We get steeped in our opinions, and we get a really exaggerated opinion of self, misleading us into vanity and self-importance. Self-importance will either introvert you or extrovert you, putting you way out there in front of everyone, or hiding you off in a corner because why? You're important. You need to be preserved. Right? From all injury. So we lose all self-esteem, and there's no more confidence in our abilities. This is what happens as we age. There's no more confidence in our abilities unless we walk in extreme arrogance. But because we live, this is what we do. We live comparing our failures to others' victories. Y'all understand that? So if I compare my failures to Mother Carol's victories, I will always be behind, and I will have no self-worth. I will have no value. I will never come out of this lack of confidence and see myself as the Father sees me. I will never have the value He says we have. And what's the price far above rubies? Gold. Gold. And because we now have a self-centered life, and whether we're introverted or we're extroverted, your day is now consumed with self. Self. So to understand, as I go on, I'm going to be talking about self-pity. Okay, this is what can be very freeing for you. If you really see how it functions and operates, if you really acknowledge that you've functioned in it, and if you see that the Father sees you this way, you'll have no problem confessing one to another your faults or confessing to Him. But self-pity is dwelling on your own misfortunes and sorrows and your weaknesses and your imperfections. But basically, it's asking the whole world to stop while you step forward. And that's what the scary part of self-pity is. So remember, pity is the sorrow for your suffering. Okay? So the way you view life or your lot, if it's suffering to you, if you're suffering in any way or even being punished in any way, you're in a state of pity. Once again, the brain's survival mode. Okay? I want to jump to you, Sister Jennifer, and see if you have anything as I move on.
No, ma'am. Please continue. I'm sitting here learning.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mother, tell me something.
I was thinking about when you said, you know, you're talking about self-pity, and Paul counted all of his sufferings as stepping stones to make him grow in the Father. And I'm asking myself, do we really do that? But I don't think so. We take self-pity, and it's like I said, it's a badge of honor to have suffered or to have these things have taken place. But instead of honoring Yah in any of our sufferings, we latch on to self-pity so that we can draw the attention of others from what I see, what I've dealt with in deliverance, and what I've dealt with within my own self. So I think about Paul taking the sufferings and building on that to make him closer to Yah. So I just entreat that, I hope that in listening to Sister Ashley and what she's talking about with self-pity, that we can start to grasp what the Father is doing with us through all of our trials and tribulations instead of turning them back upon self. And she also said something about an exaggerated opinion of self. Self-pity will give you, it seems like it's one of those that is diminished through weakness, but it's actually a stand-up spirit that makes you stronger in your pity. So, Sister Ashley, I just wanted to add that little bit.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for taking me back to the call on the scripture, too. Very good matching up. So, primary focus of self-pity. Y'all listen up, okay, if you want to be free. Primary focus of self-pity is thinking on yourself, as we've said, but interestingly enough, just as she even said, it seems like a spirit that comes across as very weak and hidden in the background is actually very bold and glorious because it has a goal of attracting attention and attracting empathy and attracting sympathy or help continually. So because for a small moment of time, if you're walking with self-pity, you feel supported and you feel cared for and you feel loved, if you're getting that attention and if you're getting that empathy. So at that moment, it's self-pity's drug. It's the fix that's going to keep you mentally distracted and destructing yourself, mentally distracting yourself. Does that make sense? So you're going to continually want the attention that's going to feed you like a drug. When you get it, you get momentary satisfaction, which I'll talk about a little bit as I go on. And then you also, because of the familiarity of spirits and how we function, friend to friend, sister to sister, we know and the spirits know exactly who we can pull from. Mm-hmm. I know exactly who's going to give me a little bit of empathy, sympathy, or pity. So if you're going to feed that and I long for it just so that I won't be forgotten and I'll be remembered by somebody, you know, because life has just given me lemons, it's going to be my drug fix, right? So it's very destructive mentally. So you have to look really deep within yourself to understand how this works inside of you, but it's a moping behavior. Very common in women, very common in marriages, because it's a moping behavior that will draw attention or actually desires to draw attention, and no attention is enough. No attention, no matter what form of attention or who it comes from, it's not enough, and it's not going to keep you from sorrow. It's not going to keep you from misery. But concretely, what does self-pity look like? Because if you're confused at all and you need to know what it thinks like, let me ask you a few things. Do you find it hard to accept a situation in your life? Do you find it really hard to accept a situation in your life? These are opening doors for self-pity. Or if you think on your problems continually, if you have a problem, no matter what it is, a problem or an issue with someone, you know, your child is acting up, this problem, that problem, there's an area that you're lacking in giving unto the Father, dying to yourself and allowing faith to flow, and you're not allowing happiness and joy and thanksgiving to be there, the fruit of the Spirit, then you're actually having a problem somewhere. Okay, so if you think on that, or if it's the first thing on your mind or the last thing on your mind at night, and this is the door for self-pity, if you feel gloomy and heavy and depressed because of what life has dealt you, you know, who hasn't had that, oh, shit moment? Like, really? You know, this me, you know, it's come to me, this is happening to me. Like, who is me to say that? Who is you to say that? You're not anyone, though you're special in Yah. But do you feel like a victim? Do you feel like this struggle or this punishment or this judgment or something has come to you because poor pity me? Or do you crave attention? You got to know this about yourself. You know, do you get a joy and a fix and a high from somebody's attention? Or do you just get encouraged and you're blessed and you go on? So do you crave attention and sympathy from others? The yes or no. And if it's yes to any or many or one, then you're guilty. You're guilty of withholding self-pity or having it within your heart. Jennifer, anything?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say, you know, I thought it was very important. Sister Ashley said you have to know these things about yourself. So you have to know these things and you really have to be honest with yourself so that you can be set free. And you can't consider a suffering to be something that is self-inflicted, something that you've actually, you know, just brought upon yourself just so that you can get the attention. So the self-inflicted wounds or the self-inflicted injuries, the things that you do to yourself to bring pain upon yourself, is not something that you should rejoice in. So I just wanted to point out, it was very good that she said you have to know yourself, which means being honest and really being honest with the Most High, being honest with yourself, and bringing about true repentance. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, Mother?
Ashley, you mentioned something about it being like a drug, and I see a lot in women, and I know that women deal with a lot of self-rejection, and with self-pity, they crave that attention. And it is no different than any drug. It is no different than overeating. It's no different than smoking, no different than drinking, because you actually feed off of that. So, you know, I tend to look at this as like an addictive spirit, because you actually pattern everything to receive the accolades from your self-pity. So I'm glad that you actually touched on that. That was very good.
Hallelujah. I pray that I'm helping. Anything in the chat room, any questions or anything? Jennifer, you have the host in tonight. Everybody all right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm looking, and I don't see any questions on this end, so you're free to go ahead.
All right, so if it's hard to laugh, I don't even want to say, do you know anybody like that, because we don't want to point fingers, but there are moments when you're consumed with self that it's hard to laugh. It is hard to laugh at others, or just laugh at life, you know. It's so quick. You're so quick to get pissed. You're so quick to get angry, because everything's going to never go your way. It's so easy to complain and murmur, because you're going to just revert back to that way of thinking continually. So it takes a lot of effort to make yourself a joyful presence in person. But if you crave drama, you already know self-pity is residing in you, because you're going to tell a story with great zeal, like, this just happened to me. Oh, my gosh. So with all this zeal that you're telling this story, you're like, wow, where's the zeal for Yeshua? Where your passion for the king and your fight for him? But, man, we got all this zeal for everything that went wrong today, you know? But if you keep yourself independent, and if you keep yourself very separate from those that you know would help you or make you better, I always pay close attention. It's just a personal tip. I pay close attention to who my spirit loves and who my spirit tries to avoid, and I don't avoid them, and why my spirit would want to avoid them, et cetera, et cetera. I pay very close attention to my relationships, and you should. You should, too. You should pay very close attention to who your spirit is very familiar to. You should pay very close attention to your reactions that are similar patterns, as Mother said earlier, to the things that you hate in someone else. But if you focus on the past, your past is continually going to regurgitate and come up in your heart, and you're going to live in self-pity, like you're stuck in this really shitty cycle of life, you know? You, like I said, you just always got lemons. It's always lemons. It's always, man, this happened to me again and again. Right? So you're always a victim, always. And you have no confidence just in life, or gratefulness is going to tear this down, by the way, because I'm going to give you some really awesome ways of thinking to turn your cycle around. So it's not just, you know, bashing self-pity tonight, but, you know, when you have no confidence unless someone else has given it to you, this is self-pity. If you can't, you know, be pleased with the fruit that you're producing, or see the good or the growth in your own spirit, you're just longing for someone to tell you that they see it, or longing for someone to encourage you or uplift you, this is self-pity. Because we all need to, like David, encourage ourselves. We all need to be able to, this is amazing. I'm telling you, it's probably the 1% of the remnant of the Father can actually function by encouraging herself. So it's just an area that we need to grow. But if you meditate on deep introspection, that's a good word for you to check out. Introspection is continually reflecting introvertedly. But I won't go there. It's a very good word to check out, introspection. You don't believe that you're worthy of love. And that's important because you'll never really know who you are. And I personally, it's just an opinion, I personally think that the sisters of this ministry have a very hard time being themselves. I think we function wanting to be who we want to be, which is righteous desire, but taken advantage of by the enemy because who we are today is not enough or good enough or confident enough or worthy enough. We're trying to change this and change that and, you know, walk such a straight line and such an eggshell that nobody can mess up. And, you know, I don't know if I should talk to her, befriend her, trust her, share secrets with her. I mean, you know, so many boundaries and limitations that who are you, right? I mean, you knew you in the club and you knew you when you sang and danced on the stage, or you knew you at the business with the buddies. You know, you knew you at the ball game. But who are you in Christ? So you get this big shock of self-worth, like, man, maybe I'm nothing, you know? Maybe I'm nothing. You dwell on the fact that you believe you're nothing for too long, self-pity's done entered in. It's entered in, and it destroys your self-worth. But day in and day out, you're very self-absorbed, and so you accomplish only things for you. So you can be surrounded, you know, you can have a husband, you can have children, you can be with family, etc.
I think we've lost Mother Carol. We've lost the Tabernacle. We're going to see if we can get them to sign back in. And I'm going to go ahead and go to another short break until we get them back on. So hold on, Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straight Way Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry and growth within you, your family, and life as well, please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Bless you, Sister Jennifer. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I hear you. We lost you there for a moment. Can you hear me?
Yes, we heard static, buzz, and the call got dropped without any buttons being pushed, any cords being unplugged. We're sitting here still and quiet. But Mother's coming right back. She took a step out. So I'll proceed for us unless you have something to add, Jennifer.
Please go ahead. I'll have something to add when you finish, but please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Mother, how are you?
I'm
right.
Just fine. I'm listening.
All right. So day in and day out. Day in and day out, you'll be self-absorbed. You will wake up with yourself on your mind. Of course, all the things that you need to do. That's why sacred time in the mornings for meditation and with the Father is very important, because you'll just jumpstart your day with self. And that's the beauty of living on a community, because we really have each other in our hearts. And when you live and see each other, function around each other, you don't have as much of an opportunity to be consumed with self. So praise the Father for the opportunity to be here. And bless his holy name that I'm back. Thank you, Father, right? I didn't give him acknowledgement in the beginning of the show. But you just want to, you know, you check your motive each day. If you're just able to accomplish things only for you, if you have a child, if you have a husband, you know, soul search and do more for someone else. It has rewarding dividends, you know, glorious, heavenly rewarding dividends, and it'll get you out of self when you begin to function and give for someone else. So if you have a strong fighting instinct to protect self, you already know self-pity is there, putting you and placing you in a box. If it's very hard for you to acknowledge something about yourself, I don't even know if you would be able to acknowledge that it's hard for you to acknowledge something about yourself. You would be that hardened. But you definitely don't want to hear this word at this ministry and take it all as it's everybody else. Every message can apply to you, and every message is personal to you, so you want to get your soul to that place. If you're not there, it's all right. We all started high-minded, but you need to get there and get there as quick as you can. Get there through prayer and fasting and get there with the Father, confessing and letting him know that I'm consumed with self, you know, that I don't see these things in me. And lastly, on this note, is that you don't take the responsibility to change you. As I said in the beginning of the show, I hope that you're not listening to this like it's a, you know, a normal podcast or a soap opera, your favorite YouTube channel, et cetera, and just being entertained, because it's not going to have the powerful changing impact that it can have. If you're 20, if you're 18, 35, 64, you can change so impressively today that you will live life so much more freer than you ever believed yourself to be or to live, because that's what Yeshua affords us, great freedom as daughters of Zion. So self-pity binds you. It's a chain around you. And to come out of it, it takes great change. So you absolutely have to take responsibility for necessary changes. Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, you talked about, you know, how we as women tend to live in the past. We tend to rehearse our past, and it's so true. You know, I believe that we never really live in the present, in the now, today, the way that we should. And we're either living in the past saying, you know, I used to be this. I used to look like this. I used to weigh this. You know, it's always either the past or it's the future. You know, one day I will be this. One day I'll think like this. One day I'll weigh this. One day I'll do this. But we never fully embrace where we are today and really have the gratitude for where we are today, you know, the appreciation for where we are here and now. So we waste time not living in the now. And it's almost like a form of complaining, you know, because we're looking at ourselves and, you know, we're falling into this self-pity because we're not what we used to be, or we're not what we want to be one day, instead of taking the time today to fight sin and the devil that's within us today so that we can get to the place where, okay, tomorrow I can be better.
Very good. An example would be you can walk away from tonight's show thinking, man, I'll never achieve that. I'll never know what that's like. And you'll just continually be in your selfish cycle, when the word that goes forth, every time it goes forth, is an opportunity to be better, to hear, to acknowledge, and to change today. today. And when you have powerful, impactful changes that you've made in your spirit, you'll know exactly what I mean by today. You know, not these little confessed, you know, I don't pluck my eyebrows no more, you know. No, I'm talking about some powerful changes where nobody knows who you are anymore. That's the kind of impact self-pity can have on you if you're free from him. Mother?
This ministry is a ministry of strength, and it is very powerful the way that the man of Yah teaches us through Yah. You know, we're not taught to be to self-pity. We're not taught to be victims. We're taught to be overcomers, and we're taught to be strong in Yah. But I do see that we blame situations and circumstances. Well, we can have the mindset of, well, I wouldn't have to pity myself if this hadn't happened. Well, instead of taking every situation that we have, okay, Father, what can I learn from this? How can I be better from this? How can I be stronger in this? Whether someone says something to you or downgrades you or this, well, how can I improve in that area or something like that? But we take it and we use our situations to have a excuse to self-pity, but there are no excuses because, like I said from the beginning, this ministry does not breed weak saints. It breeds strength. It breeds, you know, we're the head and not the tail, so you know, we really need to look at and really pay attention to the teachings that we're being taught because this is a learned behavior. This is not something that that we're learning right now in who we are. So we are without excuse. We don't have an excuse to have self-pity. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Learned behavior, and it's not what we're producing now. Very good thought. So it's hard to kick misery, and I'm going to explain that to y'all. Because everyone or woman has tapped into some form of misery, right, through their emotions, through a struggle. So it's hard to kick misery. As Pastor always tells us, nobody knows, right? He sings that song, if you ever heard it, or Misery Loves Company. We've heard Miserable Comforter, et cetera, et cetera. So in order to gain happiness, you got to lose unhappiness, right? You got to kick it. And our misery and our suffering is basically in this walk for our imperfect natures. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to think and be. Because if I reflect on my imperfections and my imperfect nature, I'm right there holding hands with misery because I'll never overcome. Because who's going to really stand up and say, I'm right where I need to be with Yeshua? We all have the testimony that I'm growing, I'm gaining, I'm trying, I'm striving, I'm running. I'm not where I want to be. And so that can negatively affect you mentally. And so who doesn't have or hasn't told a story, like I said earlier, about, you know, a shitty circumstance or just about themselves or something that has happened today or yesterday and told it with great passion to try to get an audience, you know, to try to get somebody to say, what are you trying to get somebody to say? You know, I did it. Why am I sharing this? Man, let me tell you what, man, this, all this complaining, right? Just to get somebody to have empathy, sympathy, share with you. I don't know, but there's a pleasure that comes from sharing it because I just got my relief, you know. I just got my drug fix. I get my relief. Hallelujah. I go on till it happens again or till the next time I want to share another story and I'd be just as zealous about it because, you know, I got lemons again. But I read an article one time that described misery, check this out, as an investment, okay? Those of you who follow Pastor long enough should know a little bit about investments. College students, you know about investments, etc. But the reason it describes misery as an investment is, check this out, the reason that we cling to such a powerful feeling of misery is because of the return on the investment that you actually attain, which we receive in the form of pleasure. That's what this article is all about. So it's hard to let go of misery because misery brings pleasure. And most of the time it's from someone else, because you're not basing your self-worth on what you believe. You're basing it on what others believe. So in order to feel better, you're going to need your drug fix from the pleasure that you're receiving as you express your misery. Make sense? If you complain, someone listens. That's what I'm really saying. If you complain, there's someone to listen. So this attaches you to misery, so that what you are actually wanting, your desire, comes true. And you could be very goal-oriented. I am. You know, many of us are. You're very, very goal-oriented. So you have a goal in your mind. There's nothing going to stop you. If something tries to stop you, it's going to piss you off. Right? If something hinders you, it's going to piss you off. So when you come to the Father and you're very goal-oriented, He's going to put things in your path to slow you down, you know, to make you realize He's very sovereign or supreme. But you could be very goal-oriented or have an ambition of perfection. And because you have that ambition to be perfect in this area and this area and this area, you have misery because you're not. And that's what I mean by, as sisters, my personal opinion is we can't be ourselves. We're bound by the misery of not meeting your expectations of yourself. And will you ever do that? Probably not. So something else has to change. So your future expectation is the very thing that is causing your present problem. Now, that is a very simple statement, but I'm telling you, you take it home, you write it down, you think on it. My future expectation is the very thing causing my present problem. You will find yourself very free if you can acknowledge or think of why that fits you, because things aren't going your way. See? Things aren't going your way. So misery attacks attention, period. And if you are being attended to or sympathized and loved, or everybody's showing care and concern for you, nobody wants a miserable person to be damaged. You know, so if a miserable person's in our group and we're all talking, or if I'm sharing a one-on-one conversation with a miserable person, I don't want to pile on. You know, I don't want to pile on to her. I want to share concern and care. And by all means, I'm not saying stop communicating the things that are bothering us either. Okay, let's not go that way. But you understand the spirit I'm speaking of. But if you're miserable, like, you know, Mother Carol, you know, let's say she's miserable. And if you ask her about herself, if you don't ask her about herself and she just opens up self continually, and something's always up, something's always going on, self is always talking, it's going to be hard for you to forget her, right? Because her goal is she doesn't want to be forgotten, see? Aren't you noticing me? Aren't you noticing me? I'm sitting here. I'm right here. I'm living this. This is going on. I got this, right? We got all this going on. Because if Mother doesn't get this off her heart and off her chest, she's going to walk away super rejected. Because when she just got her fix from everyone paying attention to her, she walks away feeling better. It's a drug. Right? She walks away feeling better because she just got her fix. Everyone paid attention to her. Everyone listened to the story. Everyone, you know, showed a little bit of concern. When in actuality, no one that is fixated to this ministry should be forgotten. And that's the truth. I think we all think of each other. We should be. We're one body. We're one unit. If you're faithfully in this ministry, even scattered hundreds of miles away in other countries, we're thinking of you daily. That's what the Messiah does through His Spirit, bringing His body together. So you shouldn't have to be, fed by the pleasure that you receive of speaking of your own self, right? Because you should be getting enough of your own self-confidence, knowing that someone thinks of me, you know, someone's loving me, Yeshua loves me, my husband loves me, etc. You gotta trigger something else in your brain to think a different way. But to end these thoughts, animals, trees, objects, and all creation is not worried about being forgotten. And I think it's important that we as a creation are not worried about being forgotten either. He says He'll never forsake or forgotten us. We're engraved in the palm of His hand. So we have to have security in that. And our internalized self-pity will not allow us to be happy if we think that we have been forgotten. Jennifer?
Very, very good points. You know, I just want to bring up what Pastor Dow said on Shabbat. He said that, you know, if you are walking in unloving spirits, or you're dealing with unloving spirits, spirits of self, then that is something that will compromise and keep you from being loved by the Most High Yah. And that's something that you do. It has nothing to do with him rejecting you. You're actually rejecting his love. And he talked about slowing your thoughts down and combating confusion with obedience, you know, by bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And, you know, we don't use that word enough, obedience. We don't use that word quite enough. We, like she said, we want somebody to notice us. But when we're lacking in this area, we never really look at the fact that where am I falling short as far as obedience is concerned? You know, those are the things that we really have to start asking ourselves, because we're very well taught in this ministry. And we have been armed with such good wisdom, such great wisdom, such good information that you wouldn't get anywhere else. But we can't just write it down in our notebooks and not apply it. So this is very timely information. And, you know, if we have to really look at who we are today and work on the things of today, and knowing that, okay, today, Father, I know I obeyed you today. And then tomorrow we can go forward knowing that we're one step closer to being more righteous and more holy the way that the Father created us to be. Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. I love your words. I wanted to thank you both. We're not done, but I want to thank you both for doing the show. I listened to every one of them. I was very pleased. I learned. I was glad to be a listener, you know, because I'm always the one talking. So I was very glad to be gleaning, but I appreciate Mother you stepping in, Sister Jennifer, and you taking the, you know, what do they say, taking the staff, the reins, etc. Mother's like, I don't know. Bless you both. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. So it's for the Father. Mother?
I just, in hearing all of this with self-pity, Ashley, the thing that comes to my mind is it's all fueled by our emotions. And, you know, I hear a lot of women, sisters, daughters of Zion say, well, it's just my emotions, or I'm emotional, or this or that, you know, and that's okay, because we are emotional creatures. That's where we feel, and that's where how we nurture. But we can take that to an extreme of, do you ever ask yourself, why am I, if something is said or something is done or a certain circumstance in life, why am I crying about this? Why is this troubling me so much? Why can't I just pick myself up and change? You know, is this accepted in the kingdom? Is this behavior, my emotions, accepted in the kingdom? So it just makes me think about all those things. Do we ever stop to ask ourselves those questions, to kind of put a defibrillator on our minds, to kind of bring us out of that funk that we get in within our emotions? Sister Ashley?
So true. So true. Very well said. And I think that's why, and I know that we will, as a people and as a young ministry, the women, we're going to mature. So we're going to have each other to lean on more emotionally, not supporting each other in self-pity, but actually giving the word and giving kind, strong instruction to where you need it the most. And so it's important, if you are needing advice and counsel, to have that one counselor amongst a thousand, and if not, to lean solely upon the Father as we mature as a people. If you don't have anyone and you're caught in that I'm alone rut, because that's self-pity as well. And if I'm alone all the time is ministering to you, it's a loud voice to just keep you more introverted. So if there's things you can't share with the people and with the women, it's okay. It doesn't make you alone. It just makes you closer to the Father in those areas. So you're going to mature with him. But I wanna talk about self-worth right now, because that is, in my, once again, opinion, the reason why we have problems with all the selves that Pastor talked about, all the selves that we're talking about tonight. It's because of no self-worth or low self-worth, and that has to be a focal point or a change in your life. And we know, I'm going to start with just the words. I'm going to share just a few scriptures, because in 2 Ezra, which is one of my favorite books, right, it talks about a city that's built, talking about Jerusalem, that's built and set upon a broad field. So imagine a field as large as even the United States, okay, and you got a city right in the middle.
a huge, beautiful city. And it says it's full of all good things. So if you can visualize this, it says the entrance is so narrow and it's set on such a dangerous place that it ought to fall. So you're looking at this place that's so high and lifted up in the center of this field that it's very cliff-like, maybe, or dangerous, you know, visually. You have no room to walk off the edge. And it says that it's like as if there were fire on the right hand and on the left hand a deep water, okay? And one only path between what? Them both, the fire and the water. And on that one lonely path, only one man can go at one time. Okay, so imagine like a balance beam that gymnasts walk on. You meet somebody, ain't nobody going left or right. You understand? That's the narrow path that we're on. It says, if this city now were given unto a man or given unto you for an inheritance, but he never passed through the danger that's set before it, how shall he receive this inheritance? He can't. That's what the word says. So you have to go through the fire on the right, and you have to go through the water on the left, and you have to walk on this beam and on this narrow path that only one man can go on. Okay, so you have to check yourself and understand that at times. That's what the Father brings you to. And the word also says, for many great miseries shall be done to them that dwell in the world in the latter time, because they have walked in great pride. And they shall come that they which dwell upon the earth shall be taken in a great number, and the way of truth shall be hidden. And the land shall be barren of faith. Iniquity shall be increased above which now you even see, or that you have ever heard of long ago. For the grain of evil seed has been sown into the heart of Adam from the very beginning. And how much ungodliness hath it brought up until now? And this is then that it was written. And it says, how much shall it yet bring forth until the time of the threshing come, which is the separation of all wheat and tares. And my last scripture for the moment is, hear, O ye, my beloved. He still calls us my beloved, even though in the beginning of the show I told you that we're born of a wicked seed, high and lofty in pride, right? That we're continually thinking on the same things, and he knows that we're a cursed seed from the beginning. He still says, my beloved. Hear, O ye, my beloved, saith Yahweh, behold, the days of trouble are at hand, but I will deliver you, so don't be afraid, and don't doubt Elohim. He is your guide. He says, let not your sins weigh you down. And let not your iniquities lift up themselves. So he has a great compassion and understanding for how we think. Okay, so there's much freedom. But as we focus more on self-worth, I just painted the picture of the adversity that we're going through. Okay, that's the only reason that I gave that, because the adversity is a given. We're not going to escape that. Isaiah says, I'll make a man more precious than fine gold. Yahweh says it through Isaiah. And Job says, he knows the ways that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that needs to be our mentality. And it needs to be our understanding of our value. It's not her, and everybody else is valuable. It's I'm gold, too. I'm gold. Because I'm going through the fire, I'm going through the water. And both of those things, if you've ever researched the process of gold refinery, it's very interesting. Both those things are needed. All right? Fire on the right, water on the left. Ezra also says, then shall they be known who? Those who are my chosen, and they shall be tried as the gold in the fire. And I have to ask, what is the fire doing for you, sisters? What is it doing for you? You can't be consumed with self and having a relationship with this fire. Because that fire is not life circumstances. It's Yah's refinery. It's very different. You know, it's not, I can't find a job, or I lost my job, or, you know, my child broke his foot, or I got a flat tire. No, that's life circumstances. So self-pity is going to have you reflect on life circumstances. Yah's refinery is much different. His communication to your spirit, his purification process, his voice from the pulpit, you know, through the vessel of Mani Yah, Pastor Dow. His refinery is completely different. So if you focus on his refinery and not life circumstances, you'll also attain some freedom. So gold is tried in the fire, Ecclesiasticus says. Gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men tried in the furnace of adversity. So would you believe yourself to be an acceptable woman? Because if so, then you would also have to believe that you are in a furnace of adversity. So you can no longer shake hands with self-pity and say, I'm looking for ease. Just no longer you're looking for ease, not even out of life circumstances. Because no matter what comes to you, if you have joy and gladness and thanksgiving, I'm telling you, you'll go places. You'll soar with the Most High, because your value and your worth as a person individually, this is straight across the board, okay? This is you. Look, I hope tears come to your eyes tonight as you get free. You look yourself in the mirror and you have to understand your value and your worth. And it's within Yah's measurements. And some of you are so weighed down with sin and so weighed down with iniquity or continual rebuke is disturbing you to the point where Yah's love is not known to you. You know, it just triggers old thinking patterns of self, or self-pity. If the rebuke is continually bringing about old thinking patterns, then you're not going to change the way that you think, which is cognition, that the Father says. So Yah's correction should not weigh you down. It should not weigh you down. It should make an impact. It should be a reflecting point. It should bring about meditation. It should piss you off, not in a rebellious way, but knowing that you have been rebellious should make you mad enough to change. And Pastor just said Shabbat. It's supposed to make you better. It's supposed to make you better. And that's his desire. And all his, you know, the foolish things of Yah manifested through the preaching. In all his manifestation of foolishness, as a man of Yah bringing forth and making himself as a fool, it's supposed to make you better. So you can be getting better, and if you're getting better, you're increasing in value. So don't let your focus be off, and don't let your focus be on the way to sin. So you have to face self, you have to do some changes, and you have to acknowledge some things. But here's the cool thing, right? As a woman, I don't know if you've ever had the question, you know, what's my value, or what am I to the Father, or, you know, what am I to my husband, because you're possibly in constant self-reproof. In constant self-reproof to a woman who's weakened by emotions, self-reproof is not going to ever make you feel good. It's not going to give you that dopamine fix like going to the amusement park does, right? So you don't see your potential value, and if you're not being told by someone your potential value, then you really don't see it. You're blinded, right? Remember I said the price is far above rubies that you desire, we desire, and I desire is gold. It's gold tried in the fire. So as a woman, you have to know, and I hope that as I state these things to you, and I'm done after this, but as I state these things to you, I hope that you can acknowledge it in confidence and proceed forth with value, with change. Yah gives us as women abilities, and those abilities are weak, yes, weak nature, but powerful. He gives us power. I'm not going to say that right now. I'm going to hold back on that. I'm going to save that for another show. Thank you, Father. I was going to go a different way. But he gives us compassion. This is what you should have as a woman. This is what's going to make you valuable. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit. But even more on a personal level, your compassion, you should be fragile and delicate. You should be. You shouldn't be so hard and so stony and so calloused and so strong-willed by the Hashatan that nothing can penetrate you or hurt you. And I think at times, you know, when we're stuck on self or caught up in our pride, we don't want to admit things hurt, even if you're just taking it to the Father. But we were created, remember that, you were created and known and formed before you were ever born. He knew you, right? So you were never forgotten. And we have the potential to give ourselves completely as women to our husbands. We have an awesome afforded opportunity to give ourselves to this ministry and to be taken care of for the rest of our lives by the Father and never forgotten, no matter where you're scattered, no matter where you're located, no matter who's around you, if you're alone, if you're single, et cetera, never forgotten by the Father. And as a woman, we find strength to move on through all our emotions, and that is so powerful because we have emotions that other creatures don't. But we find the strength to move on, and we fight when we're down, don't we? And we cry, and we pray for our children when no one else is. Or you have the potential as a woman to hug someone and stop their tears, or hug your child and stop their tears. And you rise up first. You should. You rise first in the morning, and you sleep less, and you sleep last. But we're soft, and we can be strong in Christ, and we endure much. We overcome much. We reason. We have a great thinking ability. We negotiate. We believe. We stand up for our beliefs, right? We labor. We labor hard, and we're all creative, all of us. We rejoice at weddings. We rejoice at birth. We hug and cry together, enjoy things together. We have powerful, genuine smiles and laughs that can change an entire room. And we really do care. We really do. We are vessels of life that bring life into this world. We never give up. We never give up. We can build a house without a hammer. And I got to say that you're valuable, but you got to believe it. You got to believe it to come out of self-pity and to come away from all the self-spirit. It's not an arrogance message that I'm giving you, but you got to let Yeshua free you by his fire. And it's going to hurt. But everyone on earth came through a woman. What do you mean we don't have value, Satan? Everyone on earth came through the matrix of a woman. So we are influences to future generations, and that is so powerful. Because when your child is born, it's a blank slate. And you're the most influence it'll ever receive. You're agents of change. And that's what makes you so valuable. So don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. Just increase your value. Increase your value and believe it, believe it, believe it. You ever heard that term, if you fail a cake, eat the pudding? That's kind of funny, right? You fail at baking a cake, you eat the pudding. Would you eat a failed cake?
Ooh,
of course not.
I don't know about that.
Of course not. But stop searching for you. Stop searching for you and just be you. I don't know how to tell you to do that. I don't know how to tell you to do that. Be you. You understand? Wouldn't it be so awesome? We just walk in. Everywhere we go, we just be ourselves. And I don't mean the arrogant, like, egotistical, boisterous women we've been. Just being free in Christ. My, yeah. That's my goal for us, you know. That's my prayer for us, that we just be ourselves, not afraid to make mistakes because it's going to happen. And easy to forgive each other when we wrong each other. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Very good words. You know, I want to say that if we truly get to the point of walking in the righteous confidence, you know, the true confidence in Yah for who he created us to be, then we would recognize that same righteous confidence in our sisters, and we wouldn't be accusing her of, you know, being arrogant. And, you know, because we're so rejected within ourselves, we have to accuse our sister of being prideful. But we would really recognize when there truly is a holy daughter of Zion who is really genuinely walking in the confidence of Yah.
Mother?
Ye that have ears to hear, let him hear. True love is really being taught here tonight, daughters of Zion. I hope you hear, and not only hear, but absorb. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless you all. I'm thrilled to be back and to hopefully be used by the Father. And you know that every form of administration comes forth from this ministry. Everything that you hear on the Sister Show was taught by the honorable and legendary Pastor Charles Dow. Got to give him credit for what he's doing and what he's producing, because without his vision and his obedience to it, I wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be here. And what you hear is just basically taking what he says and what he's preached and applying it. So you're going to hear different admonitions on the show. So I hope that if you're ever pissed off at a show we have, you'll remember how we really feel, which is tonight's manifestation, that we're all very valuable and that we're all running and striving together, desiring to love one another and to have and see our own self-worth, so that we don't have to rely on anyone else's confidence or anyone else's words or encouragements, that we just take everything for exactly what it is, face value. Jennifer, end the show.
Before we end the show, we have actually one question in the chat room. The sister wants to know, what do you do when your husband wants you to discontinue fellowship with a sister because he isn't liking what he sees out of that sister? I'll give it to you, Sister Ashley and Mother Carol.
You stay the hell away from that sister that he doesn't like or doesn't see because you should have been done seen it. My husband ain't never had to tell me. I'm hitting it raw. It's going to sound raw. I'm not meaning it at all, but it's going to be just a check on your discernment because he's possibly and potentially saving your soul a lot of heartache because we've been told by this ministry numerous times to put away those who bring your soul negativity or don't benefit you. So hopefully your husband is having the foresight to help you because you need the help, and that's okay because you're in a weakened state, you know, below him. But at the same time, we should always have at our forefront who is there to help us and who is there to hinder us. And we should not have any hesitations in obeying our husbands, especially in a kind command such as stay away from her because she's no good for you. Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Very good sound advice. Daughters of Zion, I pray you truly listen tonight. And I just want to please write down what Sister Ashley said. My future expectation is the very thing causing my present problem. Really focus on that. My future expectation is the very thing causing my present problem. Shalom, Daughters of Zion. Welcome back, Sister Ashley. And Mother, thank you so much and blessings to you for being here. We love you all. Shalom, shalom.
Ah!